Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 18. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro, and there is football in the air at the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles are in Phase 3 of the offseason program, and the organized team activities are underway. We have a lot of things going on at the NovaCare Complex with the Eagles, and in this Eagles Live Podcast, we're going to get to all of it. First things first, quarterback Sam Bradford spoke to the media for the first time since his decision to leave the voluntary workouts and then return 2 weeks later. Bradford explains his thought process and talks about what's ahead in 2016.
You know, obviously it wasn't a long-term deal. It was a two-year deal. I was well aware of that. We've talked about that. You know, my goal was to play well for the next 2 years and create that stability that I've talked about, you know, pretty much my whole career. You know, Philadelphia is the place I wanted to be. I wanted to play well for the next 2 years, create that stability, and then sign a longer-term deal, you know, and stay here for the rest of my career. You know, after time and after thought, I realized that this is still the best place for me to be. You know, there's a lot of guys in that locker room that, you know, I really care about, and I know they care about me. You know, I think some of the conversations that I had with some of those guys the 2 weeks that I was away, you know, it just made me realize, you know, how much I miss being around them, how much I miss being on the field with those guys, you know, and knowing that they have my back and knowing how much support they had for me made me realize that, you know, this is still the right place for me to be.
Head coach Doug Peterson talks about Sam Bradford and insists that Bradford is the starting quarterback for 2016, that he has to look ahead and not worry about anything in the past.
I've actually talked to Sam, and since he's been back, and I told him my feelings haven't changed. He's my guy. He's the number one guy. I just want him to embrace that, and let's not look backward, but look forward.
Running back kick returner Darren Sproles is a no-show at these organized team activities. Peterson does not sound the least bit concerned and says he has a good handle on the Sproles situation.
He and I are in direct communication. We've been talking all offseason. I have no issues with Darren. I fully expect him to be here for the mandatory camp. But again, this is a voluntary program, so I can't fault him for being here. I think where he is in his career, you know, I've been there before too, where sometimes you want that break. With him and his family being apart during the season, this is a time for him to really spend quality time with the family. And he knows what it takes to get himself ready to go, and fully expect him to be here in a couple weeks.
Believe it or not, now is the time to start thinking about summer plans. And the best way for your kids to enjoy the summer is to spend it with the Eagles. In partnership with award-winning ESF Camps, the Eagles are proud to introduce the all-new Eagles Football Academy, featuring both football non-contact camps and cheerleading camps for boys and girls ages 6 to 14. Camps feature instruction from current and alumni Eagles players and cheerleaders, a behind-the-scenes tour of the Eagles facilities, top instruction from the region's finest coaches, and much, much more. Register your kids today for the official Philadelphia Eagles Football Academy summer camps. Visit eaglesacademies.com. One of the receivers he will throw to is Nelson Agholor in his second season. Agholor's rookie year was a struggle as he caught just 23 passes with one touchdown, but he's prepared, says last year's number one draft pick, to make the big jump in the season ahead. We go off the field with wide receiver Nelson Agholor. Nelson Agholor, what's your level of confidence going into year two of your career?
A lot better than year one. I mean, I feel prepared. I've also had reps and experience going against some of the elite corners in this league. So now my mindset is on coming out here and making an impact.
What parts of your game do you think have come the farthest?
Just my control over my body, I think. And as a wide receiver, that's very crucial because, you know, as a rookie, I was fast, you know, but some of it wasn't controlled speed. I feel like now I have great controlled speed. I run, you know, more fluent and comfortable routes, you know, and it makes it easier to catch the football.
What do you project your role being in this offense?
Somebody that's going to help us win football games. They throw me out there, I'm going to perform like I'm the guy every time the ball comes my way.
Big difference in the scheme from last year to this year. Can you kind of outline just in basic form, what are the differences in terms of the responsibilities that you have?
Well, I play a lot more X, single receiver, so I have to do a great job of beating man-to-man coverage, and I'm going to love that because, you know, I love challenges, and I'm going to train for that.
This wide receiver room, a lot of competition with Ruben coming in, with Chris coming in. How have you seen that group come together?
It's good because it's great competition, but also we are all around the same age, and we got a great opportunity to do this together for a long time. You know, I look at a guy like Chris Givens who, you know, he's one of my good friends, but, you know, at night I can't sleep because I know he wants my job. And I got a lot of respect for him, so I got to make sure I'm on my toes every day I go out there. You know, and Josh Huff and Ruben, all these guys are out there, and Jordan. Jordan is, you know, obviously we know Jordan's competitive nature. Jordan wants to be the guy, and that's what it's about. And I want to be the guy, and these guys want to be the guy. And if we all want to be the guy, I mean, we got a bunch of guys.
A lot of guys. Nelson, you're the guy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
On the defensive side of the ball, the Eagles are counting on a major contribution from strong side linebacker Nigel Bradham, who played for coordinator Jim Schwartz in Buffalo in 2014. Bradham signed with the Eagles as an unrestricted free agent, and he says he fits right in with a very familiar defensive scheme. Nigel, early thoughts on what you've seen from the defense?
I feel like we're going to be fast, aggressive. We're going to make a lot of big plays. I feel like we get a lot of interceptions, pretty much just making a lot of opportunities for our offense to get the ball back and keep them on the field.
Do you see the level of talent here, and does it measure up to what you had in Buffalo?
Yeah, honestly, it measures up past that more than what we had, because I feel like we got a lot more players and a lot more depth, and that's a key factor when you have depth, and especially when guys get hurt and things like that you can't control. So I feel like we can surpass that because we got more depth and a lot more experienced players.
What is it like to go from one team to another and the fit that you have to have in the locker room, and how you kind of have to become comfortable again with a bunch of new guys?
Well, I was fortunate enough to actually know a couple guys already on the team, and I came out with a couple guys, so we kind of just kept in contact throughout our experience and time in the league.
It's really weird that you and Ron Brooks have been together the entire way. How has that built your relationship?
It's great. I mean, we was already close, of course, and that was one of the things. He stays right up the street from me, so we knew we was going to be able to keep in contact. And I pretty much know his whole family. He knows mine.
Nigel, you've worked with Jim Schwartz. You had a great season in 2014 with him. For the players who are here just getting to know Jim, do you sense the excitement that they have and the confidence that they have in what he can bring to the defense?
Oh, most definitely. You can see it in a lot of the guys, especially the D-linemen. They really happy going from what they was in last year and just being able to go attack right now.
Nigel, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks.
Away from the locker room, the Eagles made news in the last week when they hired Joe Douglas as the team's vice president of player personnel and added Andy Weidel as the assistant director of player personnel. Howie Roseman explains what they both bring to Philadelphia to help the Eagles. We've got Joe Douglas, our vice president of player personnel, and we've got Andy Weidel, our assistant director of player personnel. You've done the research on them. Let's talk about them. What do they bring to the table?
Huge additions to our football team and our front office. You start with Joe and the background that he has, coming from great organizations, one of the best talent evaluators in the National Football League, and a great person. Someone we're very fortunate to have, not only for his talent evaluation, but for his leadership. And then you talk about Andy and what he brings to the table. The two of them having worked together and the chemistry that they have was something that was very attractive to us. And then again, you're talking about someone who's shown his ability to evaluate talent in the National Football League, work for a world championship organization, and the character that he comes with as well.
Douglas spent 15 years in Baltimore and helped the Ravens win two Super Bowls before moving to Chicago for the 2015 season. He's here to run the personnel side of things on a day-to-day basis, and he's got some very definitive ideas on what the Eagles are all about, including number one draft pick Carson Wentz. Here are three questions with Joe Douglas. I think Eagles fans want to know a little bit about you and how you look at this football team. And let's begin with the 2016 draft. And at the very top, the Eagles make the move for Carson Wentz. Your thoughts on Carson and how you had him evaluated when you were in Chicago?
I had a great first impression of Carson in the national championship game against Illinois State. He takes the team down the field, down 4 points to win the game for all the marbles. So the first impression that comes out in that game is this is a clutch player that can perform when the game's on the line.
So the narrative that a lot of fans hear is that, well, he just kind of popped up late in the draft process. That's not the way it worked in NFL circles, is it?
No, there's more than a few teams that had him on the radar early. And you just go back to his last drive of the 14 season when he took him down the field against Illinois State to win the national championship. So that drive got him on most people's radar alone.
You were with him all weekend here at rookie camp. What'd you see from him? What'd you feel from him? First impressions, I guess, as an Eagle.
First impressions on Carson is that ultimate competitor. Just a very intense kid, very smart kid, but a good, humble person. He just wants to come out and compete. And another impression, he's going to be a great teammate. He's a good team guy. He's going to put the team first.
Joe, what was your thoughts on what the Eagles did in the draft, just start to finish? And I know teams evaluate totally differently, but now that you're here, as you've seen these players, what do you think about the draft?
After this rookie weekend, I'm very excited about the draft, especially what Howie and Jeffrey did in day two and day three. Obviously, you know, making the transactions to move up to go up and get Carson, that as an outsider, you're excited about it because, you know, the one position you have to have is a quarterback. So having that strong opinion about Carson going up and get him, you know, that's exciting. But just coming back in day two and day three, getting a running back like Smallwood, who had a great weekend, great feet, great hands. Smallo, really really good week. Smart, tough, durable, reliable. So I really think they did a great job day two and day three.
And then just from a kind of educate the fans, you're here, it's May. How do you learn the roster? What is the actual goings on that allows you to get a really intimate feel for this roster and how to go from 90 to 53?
So before coming here, you try to watch a couple games on the system. So I went back, watched three games offense, three games defense. And then right now what I'm doing is trying to go back and watch the tape last year on the guys that weren't on this roster. Guys like Nigel Bradham, guys like Ron Brooks. You're just going through and just trying to get a good feel. Watching the initial mini camp that we had early in April, and then going back and making sure we get a good look on the rookie camp as well.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Sign up for the Eagles Junior Pro Day on Saturday, August 4th for kids ages 5 to 12. A fun-filled day of football activities on the Eagles practice fields at the NovaCare Complex. Kids will have a chance to meet Swoop and run through football drills with Eagles players. All kids receive a Junior Pro Day t-shirt. Tickets are just $50. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Junior Pro Day for tickets and details. In this week's press coverage, ESPN's Adam Kaplan provides his take on what the Eagles have accomplished in the offseason, and he takes a peek ahead and talks about what the team needs to do to compete for the postseason in 2016. Adam Kaplan, welcome to the Eagles Live podcast. I haven't talked to you throughout the offseason, and I want to get your take on everything that's happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, all of these things that have happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's start back at the beginning, and Doug Peterson, the head coach, and the coaching staff that he surrounded himself with, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, Dave, when you look at the coaching staff that Peterson has put together here, I think the thought around the league was it's a little surprising he was able to put this kind of staff together as a first-time head coach. I don't know that Doug knew a lot of these guys. I think what happened was he did his research, he got recommendations, he chose everyone on the staff. It was his decision. And I think when you look at it from an offensive standpoint, you couldn't be in better hands with Jeff Stoutland keeping him, the quarterback coach DeFilippo, the OC Frank Reich. They're in great shape here to develop a quarterback. Greg Lewis, who, talking to people, is a very good young wide receivers coach defensively, put together a very solid staff, some holdovers, some new people. I like this staff. When you look at it, these guys are ready to go. And then obviously what they did in free agency in the draft, starting in free agency with bringing Bradford back, getting him secured as a starting quarterback this season, moving on from some other players. I think in general, I like the direction because they're going to compete this year. I think this is the thing that I try to tell people when you look at your team, Dave, here. People are just thinking, well, they're going to start over, new regime. And they're not doing that. They're going to try to build the roster as they try to win. That's the way to do it.
The interesting thing is the approach is to, yes, compete now, but also as evidenced by the move up to get Carson Wentz in the draft to build for the long term. It's not an easy thing to do. There are going to be some difficult times, some hurdles to get over. What do you anticipate being maybe the most challenging parts of that?
Well, first of all, when you make a decision to give up what the Eagles had to give up to get up to number two to be able to get a quarterback, in this case it was Carson Wentz, you know you're going to give up future draft picks. You're going to have to give up a future one. There's no way you couldn't give up one to move up there. And I think when you look at their situation going forward, the good thing is there aren't a lot of holes in this football team. I still think cornerback is something you have to be concerned about, not just for the short term, long term. You know, if the season started right now, do they feel confident they have two starting corners? They have depth, but do they have two starting corners? Certain positions, linebacker depth, offensive line depth, especially in interior, are they ready to line up that one guard spot? Are they ready to go there? Running back is a concern a little bit in case Ryan Matthews gets hurt. Wide receiver. There's some issues here still with the roster, but you cannot solve everything in one season. You're not trying to. You're just trying to build incrementally, and I think Howie Roseman and his personnel group, I see what they're doing here.
So Howie comes in here and immediately, you know, makes a lot of moves. In your opinion, what were the top three moves that he's made in this offseason?
All right, so we'll get back quickly to a free agency. You'd mentioned, as an overview, what did I think? The fact that he was able to trade DeMarco Murray, that they were able to move with accelerated cap space and the cash from an ownership standpoint. The way they were able to move Byron Maxwell from a cash and salary cap standpoint. Though it hurt them at corner, no question about it. He was disappointing. I think people would, if you're really looking at it, it was almost the story of two seasons for him. But overall, they didn't get enough out of him. And I don't know that he would have fit in with the defense that they're going to run here. But the fact of the matter is that they were able to move a lot of that cash and cap was very surprising. I doubted it, but I have to give Roseman credit for being aggressive. There's one thing you can say about Howie. Incredibly aggressive. When he knows what he wants to do, he goes and gets it most of the time. So you have to feel good from an Eagle standpoint. He was able to do that. And I just think revamping or retooling this roster over the last 3 months has been a challenge. There's no question about it, because when you're bringing in Jim Schwartz to be their defensive coordinator, he runs a specific front. He runs a specific defense where you're playing a lot of zone defense. The front, it's all about getting upfield, running that nine technique. This is a complete departure from the 34 defense they're they were running before. Completely different. You couldn't have two different philosophies, so that doesn't happen overnight. So I think people have to be patient. One thing I want to address on offense, I know talking to the Chiefs, Doug Peterson as a play caller, although he had limited experience in it, is known to be extremely aggressive, multi-formational. You're going to see a lot of two tight end, two wide receiver. You know, Chip Kelly's offense was one back, no fullback, three wide receivers, and occasionally obviously two tight end, but everything's different. I think it's going to be fun. What I like to see, though, is them taking more shots downfield. And Chip's offense, it's get the ball out quickly. This is more of a 5 and 7 step drop, occasionally 3, but get the ball downfield. They're going to take shots downfield. Look at this, Dave. Chris Givens, one thing he could do is run. Ruben Reno has size. He can run it. Nelson Aguilar, when healthy, he can run. So when you look at it, they're going to do some shots downfield from this quarterback.
What players, in your opinion, benefit from the change in schemes on the defensive side and on the offensive side? It is, as you say, totally different.
Let's start on defense from the front four. They're going to run a 43 with a 9 technique front where the ends are way out there. Vinnie Curry could have double-digit sacks. Fletcher Cox, he's not going to set a Reggie White type record, a team record for sacks, but I could see certainly 12 or 13 sacks. I could see, although he's coming off a phenomenal year, that actually the last 2 years were great, he could take his game to another level in this defense. Connor Barwin, although his role will probably change a little bit, how they line him up, how they deploy him, so to speak. I think Michael Kendricks will be used a little bit more as a pass rusher at times if he's healthy. I think the sack totals will be 50 plus if everyone's healthy. If you see the job, Dave, that Jim Schwartz did 2 years ago with the Buffalo Bills, with, by the way, this almost the same exact talent that Rex Ryan inherited in 2015, you just see how good of a coach this guy is. He's a phenomenal coach. And by the way, he's incredibly aggressive. He's not just get upfield. You're going to see all sorts of things here. And I think he's got the coaching staff to help him. And I think he's got the talent level, the player, the personnel, the players to help him get the starter the right way.
And then on the offensive side, is there somebody who you think could really jump in this scheme?
I think Zach Ertz, because I remember talking to the Eagles last year at this time, they thought he had a phenomenal offseason, but then he tears his groin. That derailed him because they thought he was going to have a monster season. Now, I think they're going to run a West Coast offense with Doug Peterson's version of it. I would expect the tight ends to be involved. I expect Zach Ertz to be heavily involved. But again, they're going to drive that ball downfield. Nelson Aguilar, if he's healthy, if Greg Lewis could get him to the point where he can get off the line and get downfield, he's going to have big plays. I'm just telling you, if everyone's healthy, they're taking their shots downfield. Pass protection, by the way, real key here. Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, because they're going to be asked to hold up a little bit longer than they were in the other scheme.
You mentioned Fletcher Cox, Adam. What is happening there? What do you foresee happening?
I know both sides like to get a deal done. Both sides are motivated to get a deal done, but remember, he's on the final year of his deal here. He's on the 5th-year option. And these things typically don't get done, barring something, you could say, surprising. There needs to be a sense of urgency. And the sense of urgency, some people say, well, wouldn't be for the mandatory camp June 7th through 9th? Sure, but it's all about training camp. The thing that you don't want Fletcher having to do is being asked every day, are you going to get your deal done? Remember Deshaun Jackson when he was going through a situation. Brian Westbrook when he went through a situation. Players get sick and tired of the media asking them. Although I remember Alex Smith, the Chiefs quarterback, he shut it down. He said, I'm done talking about it. I remember when he was trying to get his contract extended. So each player is different, but you want Fletcher Cox, who will go down as one of the best draft picks in Eagles history. There's no question about it. You don't want him to have to deal with this stuff during training camp. So obviously everyone's going to be motivated to get that deal done by the start of training camp. Obviously it's probably going to be late July.
As we sit here, Adam, middle of May, how do you feel about the team? Where's this team going to be in December?
If everyone's healthy, you always have to start with that when you evaluate 32 teams. The upside for this team seems to be like 9-7, that area. But you just don't know about, I mentioned earlier in this interview here, cornerback. You just don't know about those guys yet, how they play. I don't have any doubt that this defense will be terrific under Jim Schwartz. But offensively, I'm concerned about that other guard spot. It's either going to be Alan Barber or whoever, Isaac Simalo, we'll see. And the receivers are just unproven. Other than Jordan Matthews, who do the Eagles really have who they can depend on right now? That would be a concern. And I'll tell you what, if Ryan Matthews gets hurt, I know the Eagles are very high on Smallwood, the running back. He's never played down in the National Football League. So you just don't know. And of course, we didn't even mention Sam Bradford protecting him. Can he put together the best season of his career? That should be this coaching staff's job here. Forget about playing the rookie because they've already gone on record saying that they want Sam to be the starter this season and they'll see after that. How about Sam putting together the best year of his career? Protect him and we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
That's it for our podcast this week. Thanks to our superstar producer, Brian Thomas, for putting it all together. And thanks to all of you for joining in. We're back next week for more from the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles prepare for the year ahead. Thanks for listening and have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
EAGLES!